We're in chapter 14 of John now. We just started from the very beginning. But I want to just discuss for a moment, what's the significance in this speech of Peter when he says, we're proclaiming this good news to you, that what God promised our fathers, he has brought to fulfillment for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. As it is written in the second psalm, you are my son, this day I have begotten you. How does that psalm apply to the resurrection? Did you ever think about that? Is this just a flourish? Or are they? You see, this is... So we're going to take a minute to try to explore this, because the Word of God is living and active and more penetrating than a two-edged sword. And as we understand it and take it in, it changes us. This is from Psalm 2. In fact, I think that's what we just had. Yeah, you see? I myself have set up my king on Zion, my holy mountain. This is the psalm. And then another one speaks. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord, this translation. The Lord said to me, you are my son. This day I have begotten you. Now what day is that? Are you awake now? You see? That psalm is an enthronement psalm. And the day that the king was enthroned, he became Son of God in a new and special way. Remember how God promised to David, I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me, talking about the successors in the line of David. And there will be one come who will be the son of David. So this psalm is celebrating the enthronement of the king. But not just on an earthly throne. The king reigns. So that now that text has been fulfilled, you see, filled to the full. It's not just about becoming a king on earth. At the resurrection, Jesus was placed by the Father as the king and master of the whole universe. And that's what the psalm is talking about. Well, how do we know that? Well, because the Word of God says so. And so this psalm is used frequently in the New Testament, always with this meaning, that the one to whom these words were spoken in an eternal and irrevocable way, you see, is Jesus. At the resurrection, the Father said, you are my son. This day I have taken your humanity and placed you at the very crown of all creation. The resurrection. As I say, I've forgotten, but I would say this probably is quoted 6 or 8 times in the New Testament, always with this meaning. So Paul is proving the resurrection, but not in a way that we would get easily, right? We're proclaiming this good news to you of the resurrection, that what God promised our fathers, he has brought to fulfillment for us, their children. He promised, and now it's fulfilled by raising up Jesus, as it is written in the second psalm. Now, who would get that out of the second psalm? Except that Jesus is raised from the dead, and the Spirit opens up and says, you see, it was promised. Because the one who is now Ben David, the son of David, reigns forever and ever over the whole universe. I thought you'd be interested in that because, you know, we hear that every year. Oh, that's nice. What does it mean? When you read the scriptures, don't be satisfied with reading the words. Get a hold of what it's talking about. I've told you before about Honi the circle drawer, haven't I? You haven't heard about him. Honi was a very holy man. He was a rabbi in Jerusalem. You know, in that climate, it rains for a couple of weeks in the fall and again in the spring. The early rains and the late rains. That's all the rain there is. Women hang up their clothes at night sometimes. Why not? It's not going to be any, you know, a little dew maybe, but no rain. I have to worry about that. December rains. So they haven't had rain now. They haven't had the early rains. And now they're worried. So they said to Honi, pray. We need rain. Holy man, you pray. Ask him. And he did and nothing happened. So he drew a circle in the ground. And he stood in the middle of the circle. And he said, Lord God, Master of the universe, I'm not moving out of this circle until you send us rain. And boom, it came down, you see. Well, we have to pray like that. I'm not getting up from this prayer time until you let me know why this Psalm 2, or whatever you want to know. Like Honi the circle drawer. Now, I got to... You see, don't let your hearts be troubled. Now, the translation here, you have faith in God, have faith also in me. Just so happens that the way the word is spelled, it can either mean you have faith, or have faith in God and have faith in me. Why? Because I'm God. There are many dwelling places. You don't have to worry about that. You see? If there weren't, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you and you and you? I have had it in mind from all eternity. Long before your father and mother existed, I knew what I was going to do with you, and I prepared a place for you. You just have to accept it. And so, I'm going to go and prepare this, and I'll come back, and I'll take you to myself, so that where I am, you also might be. I want to be with you. I want you to be with me. Now, let's get metaphysical for 2 minutes. How can we be how can we be absent from him? He's everywhere, right? Ah, but he has a humanity. And in his humanity, he loves us so much, he wants to be with us all the time. That's why he's planned heaven, where we can be with him and see him, rejoice in him, be just, what's the right word? Swept out of ourselves, as from within the depth of our own being, we understand the Trinity. Because forever, we are kept alive in a transformed body by the very life of the Trinity himself. That's what heaven is all about. That's why Therese, you know, was just fascinated and wanted to go to heaven. She read that book by Armin Jean. I forgot the title of it, but there's a book on the afterlife. And she read it as a child, as a little teenager. And she was so gripped that that was what polarized her whole life. I want to go see God. And then she saw, look, the way God loves us, and nobody knows it. So I'm going to give my whole being to you, God. Consume me so that all that mercy that's in you gets poured out on the world. So I'm going to be a victim to the merciful love of God. Remember when she did that? But the vision was what? The greatness of that to which God has destined us, if we'll just accept it. Okay. So, you know the way. Thomas says, who's always Thomas, poor guy. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Thomas, look at me. I am the way. I am the truth. Meaning, as it always does in John, the revelation of the Father. I reveal the Father. That's the truth. And you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. See? And I am the life. You will be living by me for eternity. Well, we better get going here.